First down for the Bucs out of the gun. Freeman fires. It is caught. Touchdown, Vincent Jackson.
Hey yo, what's good, old school? What up with the Buck podcast? It's your boy E2, and you know we had to do it again, right? Let's go!
What the buck, what the buck, what up podcast? I know you need this. The whole league mad cause we just got Revis. All the quarterbacks need to go find Jesus.
I bet they won't throw Hail Marys no more, get
so
it.
So where you gonna go to get your information? Studio 76, What the Buck Nation. If all of y'all feeling what the hell I'm saying, type in the chat, yo, we ain't playing. Shiano got a plan, Freeman got a plan, Jackson got a plan, Doug Martin is the man. The defense is back and the rookies are grown. Let me welcome everybody to the no fly zone.
Old school, always keeping it live. Got an email, Spence, tell him where to ride. Old school, always keeping it live. Got an email, Spence, tell him where to ride.
What the buck, dot, net, what the buck, dot, net, what the buck, dot, net, what the buck, what the buck, what the buck, what the buck.
Hey, old school, man, I'm done, man. I'm wrapping it up. Go ahead and start the podcast, my dude.
I tell you what, it's always good to have E2 bringing us in with the new track. Someday we'll get this production stuff done between Kurt and I. When we both have enough time, we'll be able to make this stuff go together seamlessly. And then I can have a nice, smooth transition. Until then, we'll do some more brutal cutoffs when I switch over to the camera. And instead of having a fade, it'll be a cross, some sort of crossfade stuff that Kurt knows how to do, because he's a real technical producer guy. Welcome to the show. I am, of course, old school Derek Fournier with WhatTheBuck.net, coming to you live from Studio 76 here in lovely and bustling downtown Valrico, Florida. We will endeavor tonight to make it through an entire broadcast without everything falling apart. I do want to throw out a word of caution. I thought we were going to put this in the intro, but it didn't quite make it. And I should probably mention this every time we have a show, to be quite frank. This show is for mature audiences. I know that we've got some kids out there, Bailey and Vanessa out there listening. I'm going to apologize right now to the parents, but your parents know better. I tend to be a little bit loose with my language. So if you're listening to this podcast, it's marked explicit in iTunes. If you're listening to this thing live, it does tend to get a little bit explicit as we get into things. And I know my man, not Steve Dooming on Twitter, is waiting for that very thing. So I, of course, will not disappoint. I don't endeavor to go do that intentionally. It's just the way I speak. So definitely wanted to make sure you guys knew that when I saw that Bailey and Vanessa were out there in the crowd. So thank you for joining us tonight. We've had another little bit of a hiatus as we get into the year. We have got a ton of stuff to cover tonight, guys. We've had a hell of a weekend. We've had training camp. We've had Drew Hamilton out there covering things when I was gone, doing a great job. By the way, I want to remind you guys to follow him at DH Tampa on Twitter. He's been doing an amazing job. I also want to send a shout out to Buck Crazy. Buck Crazy been out there giving the fans perspective. He's been all hooked up VIP all week. I know our man Captain Bones has been out there VIP, and Ms. Bones, Lady Bones has been out there too, the whole Bones crew. I met a lot of you guys out there at training camp. When I was able to get out there, it was a heck of a camp and a great time. My man Alberto, all the way from Mexico City, came out there, got a chance to meet Mark Dominic, Gerald McCoy, and a number of the players. Had a great experience. And for those of you who got a chance to get out there and see training camp, you realize why every year I talk about how important it is. If you can take the time off and you can get down, it is absolutely worth it to get there for training camp, because you will not get any closer to live action than you do then. Anyway, let's get some house cleaning out of the way. We got some things to cover and some really important things to cover as well, sort of in the general football world for us, before we get into training camp discussion and the preseason game that we got tomorrow night against the world champion Ravens. You guys know we're not going to see a lot of starters out there, but as training camp has sort of marched along, the starters aren't the ones we really question. It's the people that are going to be the twos, the threes, the fours that really become the question. And we'll cover what I saw. Some of that will be covered or colored and tainted by what Drew saw, because he was my eyes and ears in my absence. I know Drew's got an article coming out probably tonight that we'll post on the website about some sort of summaries and things like that, that we'll get you guys out to see as well. Anyway, first of all, I've got to say a big shout out to everyone out there in the What the Buck family. We're not What the Buck Nation. That's too played out, I think, a little bit right now. I think my man E2 uses it because it rhymes, but we're a lot more like a family than we are a nation. And when I was in Canton, and when I go away and I see you guys doing these things, and I see Eliza out there and Jackie out there and Crazy and Bones and Adam and the Zellers and all of you guys, and I don't mean to leave anyone off. I feel like I'm doing a Canton speech myself. I don't want to leave anyone off. It is amazing all the things you guys do to make this broadcast possible, and it doesn't pale in comparison at all to what some of our corporate sponsors have stepped up to do as well. And so I want to make sure I send a shout out to them first and foremost. Wing House, our home bar, you guys know where it is. 8001 Hillsborough Avenue out there west on Hillsborough. It's where our no-fly zone party, the 17th, is going to be. We'll talk about that a little bit more as the show progresses because that is shaping up to be great. We're going to be out there doing a bit of a dry run on Sunday, a small group of us, making sure all the tech is working and finalizing some of the details around the cornhole tournament and those sorts of things. Buccaneer Beads, Anywhere Transport, my man John Amato, always there for us, always coming through for us. Thank you for what you do. Jim Learish and Black Ops, blackopsflavor.com, came through as well this year. If you guys haven't tried Black Ops, get out on Amazon, get a taste of that stuff. It's good. I know Chef Red always uses it as well. And Whiskey Willie's, what would we be without our libations? Our man Wally at Whiskey Willie's always comes through, and he's still got the 10% discount for any of you What the Buck listeners. To go out there and take advantage of it. Anything you buy at Whiskey Willie's, I think he even throws in a little shot as well. So that's all good loving. Now, you guys may have wondered where the hell I was this weekend and where Spent was and where Sizzle was and where Bucknuts was. Well, we were all up in Canton, Ohio. You see that I'm wearing my SAP induction hat, which a couple of you guys asked about. They were very popular this weekend, but you can't get them on NFL.com. Get out there if you want to get these hats. It's a nice hat. It's not a flex, so I don't really like that. But at any rate, and Fred the Girl, I see you over there. We'll talk about Myron Lewis. I think his days here are numbered. I think they're in love with the fact he's prototypical size, but he's getting his ass whipped right now at training camp. At any rate, we were up there for a couple of reasons. One, obviously, Warren Sapp going in is a big deal. But secondarily, and we talked about this a little bit last year, there's an organization that I don't talk about nearly enough. It's got an acronym. It's called PFUFA. It's for the Pro Football Ultimate Fans Association. Now, many, many moons ago, Visa sponsored the Fans Hall of Fame. And you guys may remember, many of us came up knowing Big Nasty. You guys know him as Keith. Big Nasty was the Buccaneers Hall of Fame fan. And he went in under the Visa program. A number of fans did. And there were various ways you got in there based on how prominent you were and how ardent a fan you were and these sorts of things. Now, when Visa withdrew their sponsorship for various reasons, that sort of went away. And a group of fans said, we don't want that to happen. Right? We want our fans to still be acknowledged for what they are and what they do and what they mean to the game. And so the Pro Football Ultimate Fans Alliance started. It's a self-governed organization. And since then, they've built bylaws to admit fans into the Fans Hall of Fame. Now, what that means is you have to go through right now, it's a multiple essays, you have to be sponsored by an existing member, you have to go through multiple levels of interviews, then you have to go up to Canton on your own dime, you have to participate for the weekend in a number of activities and make it through the cut, and only then are you brought into the class. You guys have seen me hold up my challenge coin. This is what you get when you go in. It's stamped with your year of induction. And anytime another fan in the PFUFA hall challenges you to this, you have to present this coin or they can make you do various and sundry horrific things like buy drinks. I am very secretive of these things. I didn't mention it last year when I was going in, and you guys know that. And this year, we didn't mention it a lot at all. It's not because we're ashamed of anything. It's because that's the rules. But I definitely want to take time and congratulate our very own Cheryl Spence Stewart as the newest Tampa fan inducted into the PFUFA Hall of Fame. So the actual verbiage for this is, you are in the Pro Football Ultimate Fans Association enshrined at the Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, because the Hall of Fame gets really picky about it, but it's essentially a Hall of Fame fan. So you guys know Cheryl, you know Spent, you know what she does. There are a number of people who probably feel as though they could have gotten a shot at doing this, and I don't disagree. We've got a lot of great fans in Tampa. I want to go over a couple things really briefly, and then if you guys have other questions, we can talk about it another time. The big thing about the PFUFA is to promote fellowship of all fans, encourage sportsmanship, and support charitable activities. We've got a couple of folks in there, myself, Cheryl, ATL Bucks, Mark Goodman, Tim the Captain Young, Melody Bucklady, and, of course, Big Nasty. We block vote in Tampa. So what we do is we get together in the off season, and we're generally going to put one person up. So if this is something you're interested in doing and you wonder why maybe you haven't considered before or whatever, drop me a note. I'll talk to you. I'm happy to talk to you. We've got the whole year to go through it, and we can work on doing that with you. Now, it's a non-trivial event to go up there and do it. It's a great event to go up there to. And I was really, really happy that we had more folks up there this year. The Bucks actually made a hell of a showing, not just at that event, but also at the Hall of Fame enshrinement event. I tweeted about it. It was one of my more proud moments as a Bucks fan, to be honest, sitting on the field there while Warren Sapp was getting ready to give his speech and hearing the Tampa Bay chant in the stadium there in Canton was moving, because sometimes we can't even get that shit going here in Tampa. So I was very, very proud as a Bucs fan to see all of the support for the Buccaneers. Now, along the efforts that were going on that weekend, there was a cornhole tournament held as well. And you guys know that we like our cornhole, as it were. And Bucknuts and I did enter the tournament as the Buccaneers representative, and of course we brought home the gold. Now, this is the trophy. It is, in fact, solid gold. They don't spare any expense. But what's funny is we did beat Oakland for the championship in that game. Now, sadly, I blew my wheel out doing a chest bump with Bucknuts, and so I missed the parade. The parade during which all of the Bucs fans got a chance to take a great picture with Warren Sapp at the Timken Parade. They also did the J. Babe Stern Community Center, a lot of great stuff, and it was a tremendous weekend. If you guys have any questions, I'm happy to talk about that at length. But I definitely want to cover that, talk about Cheryl's induction and how proud we are of her and how she represented Bucs fans up there at the PFUFA event. And yes, Fred, I do have a golden cornhole, which you're willing to check. You're able to check out whenever you like. There's another event that I want to bring up now that the PFUFA event is behind us, as it were. And by the way, guys, for any worry, my ankle is doing very well. It looks as though it is just a sprain, and I'm continuing to ice it, and it should be fine. And I don't know if Nutt started the chant or not. To be honest, he was standing next to me. I think it actually started in the grandstand, and we just got it going. But you could definitely hear us down there. The other one I want to mention is What a Fan. My man, Fan Man, Lowell, has got the What a Fan Awards coming up here over Labor Day weekend. If you haven't checked it out, get to whatafan.com. This is an award show for the fans, and it's not just for football. PFUFA is just for football. What a Fan is for all fans. This is going to be a hell of a blowout event, and a number of us have been nominated for awards. And to be honest, I don't even know what the hell the awards are, but they look spectacular. I know Bones has been doing some videos for a Maserati. I know Nuts is in there. I know Spence in there. I know I'm in there. I know Crazy's in there. And a lot of our PFUFA brethren from around the country are in there. It should be a great time in Orlando. If you haven't checked it out, get out to whatafan.com. Check out the events on their Facebook page as well. We'll have a lot more information about it. But essentially, they're going to have celebrities, sports stars. I haven't seen the whole list, but I talked to Lowell off the record, and it's some pretty damn good names. So it's all going to be hosted at the Rosen Center on International Drive, and it should be a great event. Rooms at my house start at $500 a night. Nice. I see Adam's already going, which is terrific. So if you have questions, I'm sure Spence, if she's capable, and I don't know if Spence's able to, I don't know if she's taking this show from work or if she's at home, if she can drop the URL in for the What a Fan event, that would be great. In there. Oh, the Warren chant was also pretty good. Big Nasty got that one going. And Big Nasty has a pretty good relationship with Warren as well. So that was pretty cool. It was an amazing experience, and we're all planning to go back next year when we hope Derek Brooks is a first ballot Hall of Famer as well. It was neat to be down on the field and watch, you know, Monty Kiffin and Tony Romo and all these guys just walking in there sitting around with you. Did the doctor advise you to keep weight off that foot? He probably did, but doctors, they're overrated. I did have a crutch for a while, and I've been using the crutch when I could. So, and it was Sizzle and Nuts who started the Warren chant, apparently, the night of the event. So there you have it. Now, we have another piece of big news, and this has been something we've been working on. You guys heard me kind of throw something at Bones a little bit last week. We've never had a spokesmodel, per se. I mean, we're a pretty group. There's no and thank you, Kurt, for dropping that in there. We're a pretty group. There's no question. I mean, look at a guy like Sizzle, and you know how pretty we can be. But we've never had an official spokesmodel. This is going to change. Roman has been working his ass off, but just a normal spokesmodel isn't enough for us, right? It just wouldn't be our style. I think you guys all know that. So, with very little further ado, and I'll talk a little bit about this person a little bit later, and she's going to be in attendance August 17th at our no-fly zone party, right? We now have an official spokesmodel. Her name is Cheyenne Velismus. This is a picture of Cheyenne. This is also a picture of Cheyenne. I'm going to continue to flip through these pictures. The thing about Cheyenne is she's not just a spokesmodel. She's an MMA fighter in the WCFL. So when it comes right down to it, it's like everything else What the Buck does. Our spokesmodel can beat your spokesmodel's ass. Not only is she gorgeous, but she will whip that ass. Now, we'll have a lot more information about Cheyenne as we continue on through the broadcast. It is MMA. WCFL is not UFC. And as you know, there are various levels. We've got an event coming up August 24th, which we're working on having some seats for. We'll have more information on that probably the rest of this week, maybe into the weekend. We may actually be selling the tickets on our site as well. We can go out and support our fighter. Here is the pièce de résistance, if I have pronounced that correct for any of you French folks out there. What the Bucks logo will be directly on her tight end. If I had a drum roll sound effect, it would be right there. Winghouse may sponsor her chest, but we sponsor her backside. We got her back. And so Cheyenne is going to be out there with us. She'll be proudly wearing our logo, and we'll be out there supporting her. So thanks to Roman for doing what he did to get that thing done. And congratulations to Cheyenne for joining us. I'll tell you a little bit about Cheyenne later if you guys wonder if she likes walks on the beach or portly gentlemen with low self-esteem, because that would cover most of our guys. But at any rate, that's some big news for us. And as we get more information, we get Cheyenne out there, we'll probably have her on the show so that you guys get a chance to know who she is and get a chance to meet her coming up to the no-fly zone. So that's good stuff. Anyway, I know we had a lot of stuff here, a couple of other pieces, and then we'll get right to training camp. The new shirts came in. We've got V-necks and tanks for girls. I also got a shipment. They did start making Badger dry-fit ladies-cut shirts, not men's. Ladies-cut dry-fit shirts. I'll have some of those at the event. So we'll have all of those shirts available for sale. The e-commerce is up and running if you want to buy shirts now. I know my man Buckboy's waiting. Yours goes out tomorrow. I just got yours in. And we'll get those out there. She could double as What the Buck security as well. So that's good stuff. Please tell me you only got a spokeswoman just so you can make the tight end joke. Fred DeGurr, I can't claim that that's true, but I do know that the thing about good comedians, or my opinion, is they bring things full circle. And when Roman first came to me about this, I thought, oh, spokesmodel, that's pretty cool. I mean, there's certainly an aspect of hot women that go along with what we do. We certainly enjoy that. The pirate culture makes it even easier. When I found out that she was actually a fighter, it just made it better. And the tight end thing just came naturally. So, but yeah, so anyway, Fred the Girl, there was certainly some of that that came through. Anyway, the new shirts are in. Like I said, we'll have all of those at the live event. They're all going to be $20. It just makes it easier. And we'll be selling those throughout the entire event. I think we stopped selling at 9:30 or 10 o'clock. And you guys will be have a chance to see those new shirts when you get there. But I know there were a number of girls that asked for the extra small and small tanks and V-necks, so we got some of those as well. There's one more training camp session on August 10th. I plan on being there. Drew Hamilton may be there as well. We'll cover it whether we're credentialed or not. He's been doing an amazing job, like I said. And the last thing is I do want to make sure that you guys remember and RSVP and spread the word about August 17th kickoff party, 7:30, Winghouse Tampa, 8001 Hillsborough Avenue. Aaron and the crew are stocking up. They've got more girls coming on staff. They've got zone for outside. And we also are in the final portions of getting the cornhole tournament finished. It looks like our boy John Pertile, you know him from our tailgates, is probably going to be running the tournament. Once we get all the details on that, we'll get that out there. So spread the word and make sure that everybody knows. We expect to see all of you guys out there at this event. It should be huge. It's going to make a hell of an impression on Winghouse, and I think on some Bucks fans. The brochures look great that we're going to be spending out. There'll be raffles going on every, I can't remember, 30 minutes. But some great things, a signed Revis jersey, some great gift baskets, great merchandise. It's all going to be, the way we do our tailgates, it's going to be done there. Now, one thing we did not, nice, Kurt says if the no-fly zone party were part of the NFL package, it would not be blacked out locally. True story. One other point that I do want to make, Spent and I talked about this off-air beforehand. We think we may do a collection at the event, and it may be school supplies. So you guys are in the know here, the folks that are online with us for the live show and who listen to this podcast right away. We will confirm that and put it out on the event page as well as on Twitter if we do that. If so, we'll let you guys know how to do that. So that's really all the news that is the news. Right now, people are dropping like flies, folks. The big concern I think every team has going on across the league is what in the hell is going on with ACLs and knees and all the other injuries that are going on. So when you look at the opportunity for injury, it's always been there. I was talking with Steve White, and God knows we want to get the phone back up so we can get Steve back in here. do we think that maybe this is because of the lack of two-a-days, the reduced amount of practice time, right? Ligaments, when you tear these ligaments, these are acute injuries. These aren't chronic conditions, but damn, it seems like the less they practice, the more severe these injuries are and the faster they happen. And I know it happens all year, six-point stance, but damn, this just seems like a lot. And maybe anecdotally, it just seems like a lot. Maybe people haven't focused on it as much. Maybe it's just been bigger names. You saw Aurelius Ben, former Buccaneer, went down. The Eagles, I think, have no receivers left except for Riley Cooper, and he's not in great shapes either. So it is a challenge. What's going on out there. So as we get into this first preseason game here Thursday night, which hopefully you guys all have your stuff ready for, I'm going to reach back here and grab my season ticket package, which I had that over there because I was going to show you the package before everyone had theirs, but then everyone got theirs, and so it became less interesting. But remember a couple of things, guys. If you're using the parking passes this year, they are scanning the parking passes, so make sure you have them because they're going to scan them. Also make sure, if you are a lady or if you carry a satchel, Roman, that your satchel is the clear bag the NFL has approved, because there will be no purses, satchels, or handbags allowed in these games. They've been sending out constant reminders of that. So make sure, if you're carrying a bunch of shit with you, it's in the clear bag that's approved, or the Ziploc bag, or whatever the hell this TSA/NFL ridiculousness has imposed to keep us safe from the atrocities of tampons that exist in purses. I don't know what the hell it means, but whatever. Let's get to training camp. You guys hopefully were following the YouTube videos, following the articles on the website, following Drew Hamilton on Twitter, and I just got to, again, tip the cap, as it were, officially, to Drew. If you go back and look at timelines, guys, and we don't pound our chest about this often anymore because it's just old hat. Every single important piece of data from a day of camp when we were there, we were the first to talk about it, and we talked about it in more detail. Right? That's what the fuck we do. And I appreciate having someone like Drew available to go do that. I know you didn't like doing the video, Drew. It's going to come. It's going to come naturally for you. I know it will. But I just got to say that, once again, I'm very proud of the coverage that we had for camp and by our presence there at camp. As Drew and I would confer at lunch, we'd always run over to the Wing House because they're our sponsor, and damn it, that's what you do with your sponsors, and we would talk about the different stack ranks. Now, going into training camp, there were some pretty pronounced areas of weakness and concern, and I want to remind you guys, if you have questions or things you want to talk about, if you throw them over here in the chat room, I'll do my best to see them. If you really want to make sure I cover it, hit us up at oldschool@whatthebuck.net, and I'll make sure I check the mailbag to cover those things, because I'm going to go right through the defense and right through the offense. I'm not going to talk at all about Baltimore because I don't give a shit. It doesn't matter. This is just a full padded, full contact scrimmage with a bunch of guys wearing a different uniform. It really doesn't matter. We're not going to game plan these guys. This is about seeing who's going to make this team. But the concerns we had were around the defensive line, linebackers, specifically around at the SAM, and the tight end position. Now, there, of course, were pervasive questions about Josh Freeman, the quarterback position. There was some, I think, manufactured concern around Glennon overtaking Josh. I think anyone who knew what was going on realized that wasn't the case. This is a hedge position, right? Josh is in a contract year. If they franchise him, he's still going to make $18 to $20 million. They're going to spend a lot of money on the kid. If he does well, they need to lock him down. If he doesn't do well, or if they think that the cost benefit's not there, they need to see if Glennon is the answer. I don't think anyone in their right mind thinks Orlovsky is going to be the answer. And Weber, he seems like a nice enough kid, but no, that's just another arm in camp. So as we go through here, I want to talk specifically about the defensive line. A couple of things that I took away from this, and as people feel like they want to, they can throw in their comments in the chat room. Gerald McCoy is a friggin' animal. Gerald McCoy, and this is against our offensive line, and I don't mean to jump ahead to the offensive line, because if I were excited about one thing in camp so far, it's that if our offensive line stays healthy, we could put me and Sizzle and Roman in the backfield, and we could still generate 3,000 yards of offense. This offensive line is monstrous and athletic, and it's the most exciting offensive line I've ever seen in Tampa. From right side to left side, DeMar Dotson's killing people. Davin Joseph is doing what Davin Joseph does. Zuda's happy and comfortable at the center position. Carl Nix is fine, and we'll talk about Carl Nix and his plantar plate tear and all of that shit. And then Donald Penn comes in the best shape of his career. This offensive line is not only big, and they are big, don't get it twisted, Carl Nix is a giant human being,
they are agile. And these guys are getting worked by Bob Bostic, the coach, on zone blocking and power blocking. It is absolutely phenomenal what I see in the offensive line. Now, against that offensive line, Gerald McCoy is still beast mode. Absolute beast mode, blowing plays up. Now, once we get past there, Adrian Claiborne's still playing his way into shape. He looks healthy. He looks like AC from time to time. He had the groin pull. I'm sure they're going to be cautious with that. I think that he's going to be solid like AC is. Is he a 7 or 8 sack guy again this year? I don't know. He's got the capabilities of it, certainly. We've got backup behind him in Daniel Tanesham. We got to see him play last year. Do I love him going in? We lose 20 pounds in the ass there. But we know he can play the position. It's the nose tackle spot that we lost Roy Miller, whether that's going to be Landry or Spence or whoever they end up throwing in there. And then that left defensive end where Michael Bennett departs, whether he's damaged goods or not, the guy could play ball. There's no question about that. Daquan Bowers right now, for some reason, is in love with a bull rush. He's not strong enough to work the bull rush. When he gets stood up, he tries to go to spin move, and he's not fast enough for a spin move. He needs to work on a club rip. The defensive line coaches need to work with Daquan. Now, he's got such a wingspan that he can actually set that edge, which is nice. He can absolutely set that edge. But that's where my concern is, and the people behind him just don't give us – that's who we're going to see. We're going to see the Golstons and Means and get some chance to see what these guys can do against real other players, right? Even when we're going full speed in practice, sometimes it's really tough because these guys are not killing one another. So I see Fred the Gross talking about Penn's inside. On inside pass rush, he's been fine because Nix has been there. When you got him and Nix standing side by side, their spreads are not real wide because we're not running a spread offense. So their splits are not significant. So they've been working a lot on combo blocking and jabbing. And so if he gets someone coming to the inside, he can jab him over to Nix. And then go ahead and make sure he sets on the outside. So that's pretty solid what we see going on there. So Roman says he thinks the Bucs are going to be grabbing a veteran QB after roster cuts. I don't know why. I don't know why that would do them any good. They've got one, Dan Orlovsky. If they want to keep him, if they want to keep three QBs, they'll keep Glennon and Orlovsky. They had Orlovsky all last year, and it didn't bother them. So is the spokesmodel split significant? I'm going to have to warn her that that's the kind of humor she's going to get, and I have to warn you guys that she can probably tap any of us out within 30 seconds. Just saying. And none of y'all are insured. Drew says that right in the chat room right now. Drew Hamilton, for those of you not aware of who he is DH Tampa in the chat room, at DH Tampa on Twitter. I think he said it the best. Bowers has been ordinary in training camp. Now, Bowers is that guy who can intermittently show you extraordinary speed or extraordinary jump. Ghost of Gruden has Josh Freeman working a lot of bootlegs. No, not a lot of bootlegs. He has shown mobility, and one of the stark differences between him and Glennon, and I didn't realize this coming in, Glennon is Frankenstein in the pocket. He is absolutely sluggish laterally, which is very interesting to be. He looks to be much lighter, but he is definitely not what we would call agile. But bootlegs and waggles don't seem to be a big part of this offense. I think what you may see is that's the escape route for the quarterback. If he has to, he's going to step up in the pocket and then slide laterally. Josh mostly to his right, Glennon as well, I would suspect. I don't like it when quarterbacks who are right-handed slide to their left. It makes it much more difficult throw for them. Anyway, defensive line, a concern. We need to see what these second-tier guys are going to do. Rook is doing some salary chat in there. Let me see here. Zuz, a decent utility lineman, started at 4 of the 5 spots. Players with merit, not particularly effective center. What's that link from? I disagree with it. I think Zuda's been tremendous. I don't really get into the dollars per play kind of thing. You know that I'm not a contract guy. But I think that's horseshit. Rook does too. Okay, well, good. If Rook agrees with me, then I think I'm right. Whoever wrote that, is that Walter Football? Because that guy, I don't agree with him very often. I don't know if it is. I'm just being an asshole. All right, defensive line, we kind of covered a little bit. Linebackers, I wish I could tell you there's a silver lining here. And Drew, did you ever figure out who the hell 58 was? Who was wearing Quincy's old number? So we were watching linebacker drills last time I was there with Drew. There are no surprises. There are no surprises in the linebacker corps. Levante David's a beast. Mason Foster's had a great camp. Casillas and Hayward are what they are. They're going to be stout against the run. They're going to be suspect against the pass. They're both slow in coverage. That's going to be where Dakota Watson has an opportunity to beat them, because athletically he's just much better than they are that way. He's also a hell of a pass rusher. The question becomes, will he be able to do it every down? How often will we have an opportunity to, based on the defensive set that we go in there? Because we may not have three linebackers on the field at all times. And then when we were out there watching the drills, we saw this linebacker, number 58, who wasn't on our roster sheet, who looked very athletic. But I didn't get a chance to see much of him in actual 11-on-11 scenarios. But linebacker scenario, again, as fans, when you're out there watching the game tomorrow, pay a lot of attention to the defense. Not just about pressure, but look at the gaps. Look at where they're getting to. Are they maintaining their assignment? The linebackers, watch them in coverage. Last year, we got blitz happy because we couldn't get pressure with the front four. Got blitz happy, and we couldn't get the job done, right? You can't blitz and not get home. We've talked about it for years, and that was exactly what we did last year. So if we're going to blitz, we've got to make sure that we get home. That's his name. Thank you very much, Buck for Life. Shit. I'm going to need his help, as much help with him as I needed with Daniel Tay Nation. That was from Grantland. You know, Grantland's usually pretty good. I actually like that site. I don't agree with the Zuda assessment, though, at all. Roman is not drunk. Anyway, those are areas that I'm particularly concerned about. Now, corners, guys. Going into this year, we knew Revis Island. If he's healthy, that makes the whole team better. No doubt about it. We had questions about Jonathan Banks, rookie. Is he going to be what we need? Is he going to be able to handle the man press kind of stuff that we like to run, considering the fact that he's sort of traditionally been a really strong zone corner? Everything I have seen out of Jonathan Banks has been impressive. The kid's a quick study. He has great ball awareness and instincts. He gets the ball at the top of its arc. He is not afraid to step into zones. He understands route combinations and route concepts, which allows him to cheat a little bit and get into the right spot, which is tremendous. Now, what's more exciting to me in some ways, right, and this is going to sound really weird, but what's more exciting to me in some ways is what we've got behind them, guys. And I don't know, was it you, Drew, who penned LoJack as Leonard Johnson's nickname? Because if it was, you should go trademark that shit. Because Leonard Johnson's had a hell of a camp. Rashawn Melvin's had a hell of a camp. Adams has had a hell of a camp. We have got some serious, serious depth at corner. And I loved it when Revis posted the picture today on Instagram about lockdown corners and had a picture of all the corners. These guys look head and shoulders above what we had last year. It's not even close. And that's with Mike Adams being 4'3". Because he is a little cat. These corners can play football. We should not be what we were last year. Tan Esham looks the same as he did last year. He's a hard worker, high motor. He's just not... He's a linebacker playing defensive end. I don't know how he gets it done. I really don't. But he does. Right? And I feel comfortable with him back there behind AC. Shuck, I feel you. I do. And this is going against our guys. Now, but when you say going against our guys, that's going against Vincent Jackson, going against Mike Williams, two of the better receivers in the league. These guys are playing good ball against them. Now, we'll switch over to the receivers in a little while because we've also had some surprise over there. But my biggest surprise was the cornerback depth behind Revis. And it didn't stop with Banks. It's a bunch of these cats who no one knew who the fuck they were. And all of a sudden, you're out there. And not only are they quick, their assignments sound, they're fundamentally sound, and they're getting in the way. Question, do you think they knew how good their backup corners were when they released Wright? You know, they could have. They could have. I know that the team has been high from what I heard from the contacts when I had my credentials. They've been high on Melvin. They've been saying keep an eye on Melvin from the beginning. That said, we didn't say a thing about Gore or Gator, who have shown promise in the past. They just have not shown as much with these guys out there. That's not to say that they're not good, but that's why, as we go back to the beginning, and Crazy, thank you for chiming in, brother, because you've been out there more probably than anyone else, right? Drew's been covering for me. I've done some work out there, but I think Crazy's probably got us all beat on how many days he's been out there. But in my opinion, guys like Melvin and Adams have just absolutely been tremendous. Now, Adams doesn't have size. He doesn't. But Leonard Johnson's had a great camp as well. I think that we've got depth. And so, Fred, I think that certainly played into it. I think they didn't need the hassle. I think opportunistically Dominic thought he could get something, and it would have worked if it weren't for those damn kids, meaning the physical. So that's good stuff. At the safety position, Deshaun Goldson has got nothing but rave reviews from people for his leadership. We don't get a chance to see a lot of what our safeties can do in 11-on-11 because what our safeties are going to do is knock people the fuck out. Barron and Goldson, I guarantee you, will be a feared safety combo. Now, will they have the range necessary to protect these corners? I don't know, but these corners are good enough they may not need that help. Right? Drew, I agree. He doesn't play small. I joked around the other day that he was in Vincent Jackson's hip pocket, which was good because he left off his hip and then had a pass breakup. I don't think he's missed a day either, Roman, which is tremendous. Safety's backup, whether it's Quincy Black or Cody Grimm or any of these other guys, I think Tandy is listed as a safety as well. That's going to be something to take a look at and see where we're at. But I think that the biggest thing, biggest surprise, biggest positive is that at the corner position where we were incredibly, incredibly weak, we are not. We are absolutely not. We should be stout. Now, let's switch over to the offensive side. And then I'll check. Actually, let me check the mailbag and thank everyone for coming here. I'll announce the folks that are in the chat room. Let me check the good old mailbag here. Got some new listeners. Look at that. Cramo17, a new listener, giving us a shout-out on Twitter. Thank you very much. That's good loving. Ah, my man Buckboy is listening. His shirt is in. No questions in here yet. We do have updates on the WCFL. August 24th, fights start at 6. It's at 211 Tampa Street, downtown Tampa Hilton. There are going to be 14 fights, 3 title fights, and 2 female fights. $30 for general admission, $55 for VIP, $600 VIP tables if you are that pimp. And then there's an after party at the Penthouse Club over on West Shore. If you have any questions, get to WCFL.com. It's going to be typical mixed martial arts. So there'll be jiu-jitsu, kickboxing, taekwondo, and mixed discipline as well. We'll give you more of that information on the website. But for the folks in the chat room, B-Sizzle, Buck for Life, Gurr the Fred Spent, Captain Bones, Edward Perez, B-Shuck, Scott Buck's Shots, Alan, sorry, I don't have these memorized. My man Kurt, Buck Crazy, Richard Zeller, Adam Buck. Is that Buck Hogue? Yep, Buckhead Hogue. These long names make it hard. Aaron's here. Hey there, 1201 DWR. Not sure who that is, but I like it. Chef Red. Good to see you, Chef Red. And we're waiting on the finalization on our elite conversation. I should have that finalized tomorrow. We'll have an announcement for you guys on that as well. Rook, David McElwain, Captain Reno, the czar of tailgating, my man Robert, DH Tampa, Skip Brown, Nathan, Buckboy, Ghost of Gruden, and 6-Point Stance. Thank you guys for joining us. If you're listening to us live, this is really the most fun, I think, to enjoy the show because you can interact with us directly either in the chat room, which is right on the page on Listen Live, or an email at oldschoolorquestions@whatthebuck.net. If you're listening in to the podcast, please do get over to iTunes and rate the show and give us a review. We'd love to get some reviews out there. We appreciate those of you who have already done that. Any out-of-towners that want in on the participation in the no-fly zone party need to have their shiat in by August 11th. I assume that means on the raffles. We've got one of our people who's offered, out of the goodness of his heart, to allow you guys to buy raffle tickets remotely, which is awesome. We had a question here. Here's what I'm curious about. Last year, our dime package was 3 cornerbacks, 3 safeties. If we got 5 baller corners, do we go with a 4th corner in our dime, or do we still bring in Ahmad Black? Interesting. Given what I've seen, I would have gone with corners, but I heard today that they're talking about going with 3 safeties. I haven't seen enough out of our 3rd safety to do that. I've seen plenty out of our corners to want them in there. So, Fred, I think we'll see some of that. And I think for those of you, I want to throw out a completely non-selfish plug here. If you love the game and you want to learn more about the game, go subscribe to NFL Replay with the coach's film. Right? The All-22s. Go watch it. I think it's $40 for the year. I do it every year. Go do it. You'll thank yourself, because when we talk about these things after games, and guys like Fred and guys like Steve White and guys like me, and we're going through there and talking about who's in position, who's out of position, these sorts of things, you'll need those All-22 cut-ups to know what the hell we're talking about. It is absolutely worth it. Akeem Spench is huge. Akeem Spench is strong. The question is, can he play football? We got a lot of guys. We got a lot of good groceries. This is the same analogy I use with my high school team that I work with. We got a lot of great groceries. That doesn't mean that we're going to have a lot of great dinners. Just means we got a lot of great groceries. So we've got to see whether the chef, in this case Coach Shiano and his staff, can make these things happen. $40. I don't know what that is. I think that's what it is for NFL replay. Is it not that? Is it more than that? I don't remember. I don't remember it being particularly expensive. Because I just do it. Shit, they could raise it. Is it $40? I don't know. Anyway. Crazy says he lost the feed, but I don't know if anyone else did. Hopefully, if you guys can hear me in the chat room, we're all good. Everything looks good on my side, which is it's 70. They raised it. I'm still going to do it. It's worth every damn penny. And I think you can get a coupon if you go out there. Anyway, let's move over to the offensive side of the ball. Talk a little bit about the offense. I started teasing this earlier. The offensive line is beast, guys. Now, we won't get to see a lot of these guys in the preseason game. You're not going to see Carl Nix. You're not going to see Davin Joseph. I can almost guarantee it. And let's talk about Carl Nix while we're on this discussion. Carl Nix's injury was not just a simple toe injury. This was a tear of the plantar plate, which connects your toes to the bottom of your foot. This is a non-trivial injury for a man of his stature. It's a non-trivial injury for a marathon runner, right? But there was a comment about people never being right, and I forgot who it was who asked me. I think it was not Big Dog, not Steve Dumig, who was saying that he was upset because Ian Beckles has said he may never be right. If you play offensive line or defensive line in the NFL, you are not going to be 100%. You're too big, and there's too much brutality that occurs in the trenches. You're not going to be 100%. It's just not going to be the case. Now, that particular injury needs to be rested and recovered. They have the best technology in the world to do that. This guy played with the tear last year for a number of games. He will be better than he was before. Will he be hurt? Yes. Is him hurt better than most guards in the league? Bet your ass it is. Right? So, this is a concern, but not a concern because of the comments I think made by Coach Shiano and Ian Beckles on 620. I think that this is just a concern for a guy who's probably every bit of 390 pounds and potentially the largest human being I've ever witnessed. So they're going to make sure they take care of him. He knows how to play the game. He doesn't need the reps. This is not hard for him to do. They're going to keep him healthy, and I'm fine with that. But like I said, that offensive line looks good. Now, the people behind him, there's some people that are showing up and playing well. We talked about Gabe Kareemi on the right-hand side behind DeMar Dotson. Has intermittently looked outstanding, right? And to have depth at the right-hand side, holy shit. I don't know when the last time it was that we had that. So, Glennon, I suspect we'll get a couple of series with some offensive linemen in there whose names you know. But after that, my man's going to have to be able to manufacture a pocket, let the ball go. Right? We're going to get a chance to see the running back core. Now, the running back core is something we didn't talk a lot about. The obvious here is that Doug Martin is a beast. Right, and he's going to be even more of a beast behind this line. I forgot who it was. I think it was Nick Hulis from Buckstop.com that talked about sophomore slump and how great players don't have them. It was a good article. If you haven't seen it, get over to Buckstop, Buckstop.net. I don't think it's .com. Sorry. Whichever one it is. I apologize, Nick. Nick's always done a good job, but for some reason I don't have his damn link. That's why I get the all 32 teams because I like watching the opponent tape before we play them. Because you can get just your team and it's less expensive. Thank you, Rook, for the clarification in the chat room. Anyway, behind Doug Martin became the question. So you have this stack of folks. You've got Smith, who we hit all last year. Super fast guy. I think a lot of us had this thought that they were hiding him. No one knew what he was. He's going to be this kind of scat back guy. Super speedy. Catch the ball in the backfield. Really fuck people up. Then we go out and get James. Then we go out and get Peyton Hillis. Then we get Brian Leonard. I think Smith's the odd man out. I think Leonard right now is playing better than anyone else behind Doug Martin. I think Peyton Hillis, when he runs the ball and catches the ball, looks like Peyton Hillis does. And by the way, when Peyton Hillis runs the ball and catches the ball, he looks fucking good. The problem is Peyton Hillis can't block a double jump in checkers. He is one of the worst blockers I have ever seen. So, you're in the exact same situation we were before with LeGarrette Blount, where you can't put him in there because you'll get your quarterback killed. And here's the thing, guys, and I know that this is sacrilege in Tampa to say this, but the same problem we had with Mike Alstott, who couldn't block either. When we say couldn't block, what we really mean is won't block. There is no such thing as can't block, because blocking is fundamentals and want to. That's all it is, right? I can take a small guy and tell him how to block, and he'll get in there and make contact. I'm watching these guys whiff. I'm watching them plant their feet and have no one to block because they have no fucking clue where they're supposed to be. And that's just want to. Eric Lorig is safe as the fullback on this team. That's why we only got one. Right? So it's going to be very, very... Bishak, Hillis can't make the roster if he can't block. If that's true, then you're right, he won't. Right now, Leonard's the most all-around back. James is showing some signs here and there. We went up and got him. I don't think we're going to let him go. I think Smith's the odd man out. I think the real tweener's Hillis. And how many we keep at the different positions. And we haven't talked about wide receivers yet either. Because wide receiver has given us some sort of eyebrow raisers as well, for those of you folks who are familiar with the Bucs lineup. It was very, very funny. That's not fair. Blunt was actually a better pass protector than he was given credit for. He sucked at as a rookie. We got much better in 2011. Fred the Gurr, you were obviously an offensive line guy. I've always given plenty of credit to you for that. Blunt didn't get enough reps, I don't think, to prove whether or not he was a good pass protector in 2011. Yes, I think he did better than he did in 2010. But because they were afraid of him, they wouldn't use him, whether it was prophylactic or not. It's the same story, whether it's backed by data or not. That's like saying he couldn't catch the ball. That we all know that was horseshit. The problem is we don't have a large enough data set to really make the argument. So that's the big concern. 6-point stance. Hillis is only good as a feature back. I wrote the article about not comparing Peyton Hillis to Mike Alstott, because I don't think you should, because people do it for the wrong fucking reason. It's because of his race and his number, and that's just stupid. But there are other similarities. This is a guy who's a tailback stuck in a fullback body who doesn't want to block. He just doesn't want to block. Now, we'll see. Maybe when the lights are on, things will be different. All right. Let's transition over to tight end. Everyone was all a Twitter about tight end. Let's go get Eifert. Let's spend a ton of money on a tight end. And y'all know I love me some tight ends. That is absolutely a fact. We ain't got none here. Now, fortunately, in this system, we don't really need a great tight end. We're all fans of a great tight end, mind you. But we don't really need a great tight end. Luke Stocker was the heir apparent. A guy who can't stay on the field, doesn't seem to freaking matter. He is probably athletically the right answer, but I don't know that he can stay healthy enough to make that be the answer. Crabtree was brought in, and realistically, I think based on reps, and Drew, feel free to weigh in here on the chat room, I think Crabtree right now is your leading candidate. People really high on Byam. Byam absolutely looks the part. But I want to tell you to watch something in Byam. I've never seen a receiver, whether it's a receiver, a tight end, or a running back in pass routes, waste more steps than Byam. And what I mean is coming into breaks, Byam takes about 30 breakdown steps. It is so slow that it's pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. So even if he can catch the ball, he's never going to be open, because you're not going to get separation coming in and out of breaks that way. Now, we get another kid. I mean, Danny Noble, we know who Danny Noble is. We had him last year. Wright is a 220-pound tight end, which means that he's really just a heavy receiver. He is fast. He is fluid in and out of breaks. I don't think he has enough in the ass to actually make him a blocker. And I don't think we would give up one of the receivers we have on this stack to keep him. You know, the workout happened, and we never saw him again with Shanko. Rook is ardently saying that Alstott was good. I disagree, which is fine. It doesn't matter. He doesn't play for us anymore. But I mean, that's certainly something we could talk about a different day, I guess, on a history walkthrough. But my recollection was that Alstott was not a very good blocker. You know, like I said, we could talk about it a different day. But I know that that has been – that was my recollection. I can go back and watch tape, too, and Rook. And I certainly would do that with Rook. Because Rook does his homework. He doesn't bring this shit up just half cocked. Shanko did sign somewhere, but I can't remember. I think it was Baltimore. Graham was the blocker, but Graham was a weird blocker because Graham blocked like a tailback, right? He didn't read blocks the way a fullback did. So, wide receivers. All right, we all know about Vincent Jackson. We all know about Mike Williams. For some reason, for some reason, there have been a number of media, mainstream media people that think Mike Williams has had a great camp. I don't think he has. I'm not particularly concerned. I know what he can do. But I'm not going to sugarcoat it, guys. I don't think he's had a very good camp. He puts too many balls on the ground, and I don't like that. The work effort's good. Vincent Jackson always is a hell of a worker out there. It's that third receiver. I think people came in thinking it was a battle between Ogletree, who we signed, and Underwood. Underwood has underwhelmed. Ogletree hasn't exactly shined either. Now, Drew has been out to more of those practices and crazy has than I have. When I was out there, Ogletree didn't really turn my head. The guys who turned my head was Chris Owusu, who Drew brought up, has had three concussions, but my man looks like he's got some mad skills at the wide receiver position. Hagan, who's got some experience with Sheridan. Page, who our boy was talking about forever. Page looked good intermittently. Bynum is a good blocker. That's good because he ain't going to be a good receiver. But the third spot, I agree with Kurt right now. Right now, I think it's Owusu's to lose. I think Ogletree and Owusu are there. When you look at the stack, the question becomes whether we take five or six to see who's going to be that cutoff guy. I thought that we had something with Mitchell, but he's just not reliable enough. But again, it's good to have this depth. Now, Drew, you say that Owusu have to shine in preseason games to stick. That's an interesting position. So you think that Underwood and Ogletree have enough film already in real games to go to 3-4, whether you put them at 3-4 or 4-3, it doesn't matter, right? So the stack would be V-Jack, Mike, Owusu, Ogletree and Underwood, and then you're really fighting for that fifth, borderline sixth spot. Who do you have knocking him out? That's a question for Drew. And six-point stance, were you at camp as well? Drake Densmore, I haven't seen him out there, to be honest. I didn't double-check the roster. I haven't noticed him out there. I have not noticed it. So I'm waiting to see Drew come. Owusu has zero snaps in the NFL and three concussions. He's far from a lock. Okay, that's why. So 6-point stance, you weren't out of training camp. What are you basing your Owusu's and your lock on? Not being a dick, just want to know. I mean, if you've got inside information or whatever, if you haven't seen other tape, I'm just trying to figure out where that position comes from. Because, I mean, it's totally cool to have it. I just don't get it. I was impressed with Owusu. I hear what Drew's saying about the three concussions. But right now, I haven't seen enough out of the other. Right now, I think that after number two, 3, 4, 5, and then parenthetical 6 are wide open. So, versus undrafted guy with concussion history. Hagan, you think Hagan's going to take it? Yeah, Hagan's look good. We have a great problem, guys. We have a great problem. We've got some guys that look like they can play football. Now, whether they actually can is the next question, because we're watching them against their own guys. If you remember a couple years ago, you know, we watched guys look tremendous against their own guys and went out there and couldn't play for shit against the other teams. It's very tough to gauge. Very tough. So 6-point stance is going on Owusu last year. At any rate, quarterback. We'll talk a little bit about quarterback. I don't think that there's a lot of mystery here. Apparently Josh turned it up a little bit the last couple of days. What we saw early was not a surprise. We saw bad accuracy from every quarterback. They're getting used to these receivers. Apparently that improved. This team is Josh's to lose. I think he has to go down on injury or has to rattle off about 5 or 6 particularly bad losses in order for anything bad to happen or for there to be a change that took place. Christine's in the house too. Hey, Christine. I didn't see you show up. That's good to see you over there. But they're talking about Allstott still in the Super Bowl tape. But in the chat room, for those of you keeping track of it. But at any rate, on the quarterback position, what I'm looking for out of Glennon or any of the guys who play, to be honest, I don't know why we're playing a lot of the other guys. See you, David. On quality minutes. We've got to see if they can be on the same page as the receivers. This offense is predicated on multiple reads. The receivers have a read. The quarterbacks have to be on the same page based on coverage depth, location, and landmarks. So a number of the interceptions we saw last year, some of them were clearly on Josh. Some of them were because he thought a receiver was going to maybe run a post, and instead the receiver, you know, ran a dig. Those are things that these guys have got to get on the same page about, and that's going to be as much a challenge for Glennon as it was for Josh last year. Same thing, well, for Orlovsky. He's got the advantage of being here last year as well. That's going to be the interesting thing, is to see whether the receiver and the quarterback are on the same page, and to see what's going to happen with our running back stack behind Doug Martin, behind our backup offensive line. So those are the things I'm looking for, guys. I'm going to check the mailbag one more time. See if you guys have got anything thrown into the mailbag. Then I want to remind you of a couple of key dates, and then we will get up out of here, and I'll get this thing up on the podcast. We got no questions into the mailbag, which is nice, which means that I've covered everything you guys could have wanted to hear and then some, which makes me feel good inside because I did my job here. I'm specializing in the one-yard TD pass. I tell you guys, you got to watch this kid run routes. It's not good. It's just not good. Reminders, August 17th, no fly zone. You'll see the flyer go out. We're going to have some flyers all over the place. Hey, Jeff's in the house. You'll see some flyers going out. Make sure you've RSVP'd. It's an event on Facebook. We're going to have all sorts of folks there. You're going to need to get there early if you want a table. Otherwise, you're going to be standing, but that's okay because we're going to be standing all over the place at our friend's establishment there, Wing House 8001 on Hillsborough. Additional information for those of you guys who did not come in early enough, congratulations to Spent for her induction into the Pro Football Ultimate Fans Association. She went in at the Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. This is actually a picture of your 2013 Cornhole Champions for the PFUFA, myself and Bucknuts. This is actually Cheryl's entire class. So for you face painters who wonder if you're alone out there, guys, there's a whole world of people who do what you do, and they do it very, very well. It's great to get out there and be around them and see them doing the things that they do. So that was what was going on this weekend. 17th is no fly zone. The 24th is the WCFL. Cheyenne Vlismas is our new spokesmodel, and like we said, our spokesmodel can kick the shit out of your spokesmodel, and What the Buck will be featured prominently on her tight end here directly once we get those trunks made up. Last but not least, her event that's coming up is August 24th. Fights start at 6. If you want information, get to WCFL.com, and we may be integrating that into our shopping as well. Speaking of our shopping, if you don't have your shirts and you're not going to be at the event, get out there on the e-commerce site, whatthebuck.net/shop. Buy the shirts. We'll have the new products up there within the next couple of days, which have the female V-neck, the female tanks, as well as the new Badger Dry Fit pink female cut shirts, not male cut shirts. Thanks for all of your support and for all of the things that you guys do to help us do these things. If you have questions, follow us on Facebook. You guys know where, facebook.com/whatthebuck. We'll be throwing up some YouTubes throughout the week. And until next time, we'll probably be back on Tuesday, I'm going to guess, next week, talking about the Ravens. Back on a Tuesday-Thursday schedule if we can make it happen. Though next Thursday is, in fact, our Saturday is our no-fly zone party. If you have questions about when we're on, go to the website, whatthebuck.net, events, and we're always posting it there. So for myself, for Spent, for Bones, for Reno, for Crazy, for Drew, for the whole What the Buck crew, which is so voluminous now that I cannot even remember everybody. Gur, you wore your stuff. That's good. I'm glad you did that. No one asked what it was. Assholes. Buck boy, it's on the way, brother. It'll be out there to you tomorrow, I promise. If Glennon has to run, we are going to need an hourglass. That is absolutely true. Anyway, we will see you guys Tuesday. We'll talk to you between now and then. Thanks for tuning in. We are out of here.
Work, 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 work. Hello, boys. Have a good night's rest. I miss you.
Thanks for tuning in to What the Buck, brought to you live by whatthebuck.net and the Moohead Radio Network. Make sure you register at www.whatthebuck.net and subscribe to us on YouTube at www.youtube.com/user/whatthebuck to receive news about the show and overall Bucks news in general. Until next time, keep emailing your questions to questions@whatthebuck.net, and most of all, keep supporting your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. On behalf of Old School, the Doc, and the rest of the What the Buck crew, this is Big Pie Zahn saying goodnight, and see you next time. And most of all, go...